What's up, y'all? It's B Dangerous back again with another edition of Dangerous Sports Talk. Whew. The news has been rolling in for the last shit day or so. Whenever I think one piece of news can't get any bigger, something else happens. But before we even get into all that, please follow me, your host, B Dangerous, at the B Dangerous on Instagram and Twitter. Also, follow this very podcast you're listening to right now on Spotify, and follow the Dangerous Sports Talk Facebook page as well. And the podcast is also available on Breaker, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever podcasts are available. And let's get right into it. So, we're going to start off with some football talk. And I don't know what the hell it is in the air when it comes to legendary coaches. But we have three legendary coaches leaving their respective spots in a span of less than 24 fucking hours. So we have Pete Carroll being out of Seattle as their head coach. And that's something that I've seen coming because Seattle really hasn't been shit since they broke up the Legion of Boom. And Pete Carroll couldn't make this Seattle team rise to the same levels as Legion of Boom, which nobody really expected. So they probably want to start over because Pete Carroll has been there for a little minute. I don't want to say he's been there as long as he was with the Patriots, but he was there for a minute too. And he's nothing short of legendary. So we're going to start off with levels. Pete Carroll is going to be the first one we talk about. Then the day goes by yesterday. I hadn't recovered from Pete Carroll leaving before I got the news that the Nick Saban, the legendary coach of Alabama, decided to retire. And when you give all of your life to football and coaching on the pro levels, because he was a coach for the Browns as well, and you kill it even more on the college level, because he has seven national titles. Of course, his six are with Alabama, and I completely forgot that he got one with LSU as well. He is the five-time SEC Coach of the Year and has 297 career wins in a total of 28 years. Now, regardless of how you feel about Alabama as a whole, as a state, as a college in general, you can't deny that what Saban did there in his time there is nothing short of legendary. And you gotta give it up for that. And that's just from an overall sports perspective. I'm not the person that's a Roll Tide fan who lives and breathes and dies by Alabama. No, that's not me. But to know what he did in the time he did it in, you gotta give it up to Nick Saban and give him his flowers because he absolutely deserves it. As much as every legendary coach does in sports in general. Like, I would see Nick Saban being on the level of a Coach K or a Bobby Knight or a Dean Smith. These are all basketball coaches, mind you, college basketball coaches. So when you can do what you do, hell, he can be the Pat Summitt. You know what I'm saying? Like, legendary coaches like that should always get their just due because without their influence, without their nurturing, without their guidance to these young men and young women, that franchise wouldn't be half the powerhouse that it is. So I would hope that Alabama had someone coaching under him and learning under him for X amount of years so they won't be scrambling trying to find the new coach like the fucking Pittsburgh Steelers probably will be. I hope that you have a backup plan. And I hope that you have someone learning under Tomlin as well. Because when it's his time to go, you don't want to be the one scrambling looking for somebody else to be his replacement. Because you can want the Super Bowl championships. You can want all of that. You can want to run the division. You're going to want to do all of that. But this man that came before the new guy set the standard, and you can't take that away from him. So Nick Saban, I absolutely give it up to you. Enjoy your retirement, sir. Then I wake up this morning. I'm not even up, 10 to 20 minutes yet. There's crust still in my eye, mind you. And I wake up to see that the almighty, the godly, the absolutely untouchable Bill Belichick is out of New England. And I don't want to say that I'm shocked by it, because I really shouldn't be. But with Bill Belichick leaving the Patriots, they're going to be forced to completely rebuild now. Because we know that man was the heartbeat behind all of their Super Bowl wins. All 7 of their damn rings that their fans will still like to flash in your face. But the Patriots have been struggling this year. And while I can't stand the Patriots, I can't feel bad for them. I absolutely cannot feel bad for them at all. Because he was another one that coached the Browns along with fucking Nick Saban. And while, like I said, I can't stand the Patriots, but he's nothing short of legendary as well. And I know the Patriots fans are going to be just as heartbroken as Alabama fans are. So y'all both can sit there on the couch and watch ESPN together and cry together. And I know they're going to be doing tributes to both guys. They might even get a night at the ESPYs. You never fucking know. Like, the year just started, people. So we're just getting into, let's see, college sports and different shit like that. Of course, Michigan won the national championship. I throw the confetti in the air for y'all, even though I'm an Ohio State fan, and you know Ohio State and Michigan can't stand each other's guts. So confetti for you guys. But anyway, it's going to be interesting to see where they go, because we knew that it was going to happen at some point in time. We knew Belichick was going to leave New England, but I didn't think it was going to happen at this particular moment. So what's going to happen next? Only Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick know. And whomever you guys choose to be Belichick's successor, you have a big ass hood to fill. And I mean that in all aspects. While I can't stand them, I respect the man. I respect his coaching. I respect his philosophy. I respect everything that makes a coach a great head coach. There's also, like, you can always separate the good ones for the great ones, and Bill Belichick is definitely a great one. Him and Saban are on the same level as far as I'm concerned. So, is he going to be coaching again? I don't know. But we got to wait and see what happens. What else is there to talk? Oh, and the Lakers, after fucking laying down and dying for most of their damn games and losing more than they've been winning, have won their last 2 games. Obviously, I'm always going to be glad when my team wins a game, because they finally slapped the hell out of the rent payers and then turn around and beat the Toronto Raptors by 1. And yes, the Raptors coach is up here talking about the refs and all this and all that. But had you won that game, you wouldn't have shit to say. You wouldn't be complaining about the refs. You wouldn't be complaining about a goddamn thing, because your team won. You can't argue with a win. But of course, when you lose, there's always a reason why you didn't do this and why you didn't do that. But even if that was the case, if your team had executed a little bit better, they wouldn't have lost by 1 point, sir. So do me a favor and regroup your team so you can play better the next time. And that's what these motherfuckers have done. AD had a 41-point, 11-point rebound, 11-rebound game, my bad. And AD has been balling. And I do mean balling. Even in the games that the Lakers lost, he has stepped up and performed. And I can't take nothing away from that. Like, yes, people expect him to break, expect him to shatter like Mr. Glass, and every little thing that they use against him, street clothes, all that shit. But when he performs and doesn't put up pussy numbers like 9 points and doesn't score in the second half, nobody can say shit about that. So all you can do is poke fun at LaTois because it makes you feel better. Now, while I don't feel nothing, and I do mean nothing, for LaTois, because he will sit up there during losing stretches, passive-aggressively throw shade at his teammates, and then attempt to bring his child in. I know I talked about this in the last episode. I'm going to talk about it again. Word on the street is his son does not want to play with him. And that's fair. He wants to carve out his own legacy away from his dad. And that's absolutely fair. When you are the son of the greatest human to ever breathe air in the NBA history, your expectations are going to be a little bit higher than others. So if he wants to carve his own legacy out, then by all means, do you. I absolutely support that. But his father needs to know his damn place and focus on him playing for the Lakers and finishing out his contract so he can get the hell off my team. When the Lahim era is over, I will be happy. The second he leaves the Lakers, I will be glad, because you and your damn stans can leave together and you will not be missed whatsoever. But let me get back on track. Let me get back on track, because I know I got a lot of shit to talk about. And also, we got to talk about Mr. Coby White, because that boy has been balling this season for the Bulls. And he was a player that I always knew had good potential. I knew that he was a player that was going to be a force. If they gave him a little bit of time and they gave him the time to start, he was going to show what he can do. And he has improved a great deal. He might even get most improved player. And he absolutely deserves that. But while I want him to be on the All-Star team, and he absolutely deserves to be there as well, there are a lot of great guards in the Eastern Conference. Because I've seen Damian Lillard get snubbed when he was in Portland. He absolutely deserved to be an All-Star. So will this happen with Coby White? Just maybe. But the Bulls fan in me still wants to see him get his All-Star credit, because he has been in there scoring 30 points, 27 points, 25 points. Like, this is like a consistent thing. And if he stays healthy, which the Bulls players have a problem doing, but if he stays healthy, there is no shortage of what this boy can accomplish. If he keeps pushing, keeps scoring his points, keeps playing defense, and keeps improving with every passing game, he could very well make his stock go up, because his stock is up right now. And I know teams are probably looking to trade him, and knowing the fucking Bulls, they'll do whatever they have to do to screw up their chemistry and trade away one of their best players for another better piece, they think. But that is not for me to decide. That is management's decision. But despite if he makes the All-Star game or not, Coby White absolutely deserves to be there. Point blank fucking period. Let's see. What else we got? Oh, haha. And we have Mr. Stephen A. Smith ethering Jason Whitlock. And the funniest thing about that, he ethered him to ether, the instrumental of ether. And this man absolutely told no lies, because Jason Whitlock, it's common knowledge by now that this man is a shitty person overall. He'll step on whoever he has to get to make himself rise, and he has been fired more than once. And this man, he just has a very punchable face. He is not a likable person, and he is against anyone that looks like him. Not fat, but black. This man is a coon in every sense of the word. Because we're talking about the same man who called Kobe the most fraudulent celebrity athlete in the history of celebrity athletes. Dogged Kobe every chance he fucking got. But then, when we lost Kobe, damn near 4 years ago, why the hell was this man on the air crying? Like that was his best friend and like he was really a supporter of him. I don't like that flip-flopping shit. Especially when you made it clear what the hell you said and how you felt about this person for years and years and years on end. So don't switch up your tune now when he loses his life tragically. Like, everything that Stephen A. said in that rant was absolutely true. Because it's not like we didn't know any of this shit. You know what I'm saying? He said he won't do it again. He won't go in like that again. No. Go in like that again. Because I went in on like that on him. Like, if you follow me on Facebook, you know I have dogged Jason Whitlock for years and years and years. Hell, he even said that Serena Williams wasn't the greatest tennis player of all time. Then who is, sir? Who? Like, I know there are great tennis players in the history of tennis. Let's not get it twisted. But who has had the impact that Serena Williams had? Who has had the influence that Serena Williams has? Who has made little black girls want to play tennis and be athletes because of Serena Williams? I'll wait. Some things are bigger than just stats. Some things are bigger than the sport of tennis itself. But you can't tell that to fucking Jason Whitlock, because he's going to give his own warped view of what he thinks is correct. And then when people don't agree with him, it's a problem. Well, what the fuck do you expect? You think that your opinion is a fact, and that's the problem. You think that what you say is absolutely correct, and nobody else can dispute you on what you say. And your attitude is the reason why you have gotten fired from more than one company. And I'm sure he has his own podcast out, and I'm not sure who the hell would even listen to Jason Whitlock on a regular basis. Because even when I see him on sports documentaries and different shit like that, I instantly get annoyed. Like, take your ass on. And the best part about that rant is that Stephen A. said he was fat. And that is the number one drag against that man that nobody can deny or dispute. Because every time I see him, he seems to get another 50 pounds on his ass. Like, you have too much shit to say for you to act the way you do and for you to look the way you do. So, you gotta pick a struggle. You can't be both at the same damn time, but you managed to do so. But, like I said, that rant Stephen Anthony went on, that shows me why I fucks with him. I absolutely fucks with Stephen A. Smith, because that was absolutely needed. And I can tell that was a weight lifted off of him, because he had been waiting to get at Jason Whitlock for a little minute. And this was his chance to do it. And I shared it on I shared it on my Facebook and I shared it on Twitter. So if you follow me on both of them, please go watch that. It's there. But Jason Whitlock deserves every piece of that damn smoke that he seeked out. And you can't be mad when somebody fucking responds to you. Point blank motherfucking period. Let's see. Oh, shit. And we have another shocking set of news coming out of the NBA season. Ja Morant is out with a season-ending shoulder injury, and he has to have surgery. Now, I know I've talked about Ja in the past, and he just came back from that damn suspension with that whole gun thing. Even though he was getting back in his groove, and he was only there for 9 games, and I thought it was a little bit shorter than that, but he was only back for 9 games before this shoulder injury came back. And it's like, damn, man, like, you hate to see any player get injured regardless of how you feel about him. Yes, I know all of that stuff. But Ja, this is another battle that you got to fight. Now you're dealing with an injury here. And you're going to have to recover from that surgery. Get yourself back up to speed. Do all that stuff. But for the love of God, and this is for your own sake, stay away from guns. If you're going to go out, if you're going to party, you're going to do all this shit, okay, whatever. You're entitled to live your life the way that you see fit. But you better keep them guns off of damn Instagram. Because you've been caught twice so damn far. And there's not going to be a third time. If you get caught with a gun on any type of social media platform at this stage, they're just going to ban you for life. And I know that's going to piss your daddy off. Because he gave up his entire life to play in the NBA, to be a father, just for you to get to the NBA, and for you to do dumb shit like this and fuck all of that up. That would piss your daddy off. And that would piss me off. Because I'll be damned if I work my entire life to be in a place where I could actually have a comfortable life, make the money that I want to, while doing something that I'm passionate about. Just to fuck it all up in the end by doing something dumb. So for your sake, focus on recovering from your surgery. Focus on back into game shape. And focus on getting back on the court. Not no dumb shit. That's all I ask. That is all I ask for, Jai. So for you, if you learned anything, please keep your head on straight. And focus on what you have to do first, and not what the hell you want to do. And let's see, what else do we have to talk about? Oh, and something I also have to mention. I was on Twitter yesterday, and one of my buddies shared a video of Eric Bischoff saying that AEW is the new TNA. Wrestling fans, come in the room, please. Please, come in the room. Because we have a lot of shit to talk about. So, AEW is the new TNA, huh? But TNA is still standing, though. And that's the most shocking thing. I didn't think that TNA was going to last too long after that Dixie Train bullshit. That was the last time that I watched TNA faithfully. And to even sit through that was like, okay, I can't do this. I'm done. But AEW being the new TNA, that's pretty damn funny when you ran both TNA and WCW. So what are we really talking about here, Eric? You pretty much self-dragging and hanging yourself right now. Because if AEW is the new TNA, you ran both companies. Well, I can't even say both companies, my bad. You ran WCW into an early grave. You were running TNA to an early grave before they got your ass out of there. So, let's not talk about what a company is when you ran two prominent companies into the fucking ground. With the same thing that you were doing. It's not even like you were doing anything differently in TNA that you did in WCW. You pretty much had WCW. And you ran that into oblivion because you signed guys to hella contracts. And you pretty much had them making money to the point where they didn't give a fuck about their craft. And WCW would do the same little dummy shit that TNA was doing and the same shit that AEW was doing. So it's like a butterfly effect. The same shit that you see AEW doing is what WCW did. So let's not even act like you were the brainchild behind everything in WCW. The NWO, like, yes, for every creative thing that you did, for every good thing that you did, there was always something that you did that was always questionable. You gave guys creative control over their characters. And you created monsters. Hell, as much as I love Hulk Hogan to death, he was probably the biggest catalyst for the NWO being the way that it was. Because he had creative control over everything. And he felt like, okay, I'm getting paid X amount of money. I don't have to give it my all. I don't have to give out bomb-ass matches every chance I get because I'm making my money. So what the hell is the point? And when money becomes more important than your passion for the business, there's a problem. And that is exactly what you did in WCW and attempted to do in TNA with Hulk Hogan again. But the fans had seen that show before. Why would they want to watch the same reruns of you being in the storylines, of you being by Hulk Hogan's side, of you doing the same shit that you were doing 10 years prior? If we've seen that show before, why would we want to see it again? With your hair being a little bit grayer than what it was before. Like I said, people who live in glass houses should not throw stones. And people who were bleeding money like hell shouldn't throw stones either. Especially when you ran both companies. Like, how quickly you forget. How quickly you forget. And this is just a wrestling fan in me coming out, because I've watched shit like, because I've watched stuff from the 90s. I've watched wrestling from the 90s my entire damn life. And knowing what Eric Bischoff is capable of and what he's done in his past, don't speak on AEW when you ran TNA and you ran WCW. So, you're not getting off that easy, sir. Let's see. Oh, also wanted to touch on this as well. Even though it's news, but I want to talk about AB in the Al Albany Empire. And I just happened to fall on that news. It's not even something that I planned on talking about initially when I first started to do, when I did this show. But I'm like, why not? It's something I can touch on. So pretty much, if you don't know the story, AB's father was Touchdown Eddie Brown. And he's pretty much a legend over in the arena football world. And he spent his entire career with the Albany Empire. So AB became management of the Albany Empire. And pretty much they didn't pay their league fees or something like that to actually stay in the league. And now the Albany Empire aren't even in the AFL anymore. So your father worked his ass off as a player just for you to get control of management and piss on everything that he worked for. And now, because you wouldn't pay your fees because of whatever reasons it was, now this franchise, once proud franchise, mind you, is no longer in the league. That's like, the fuck do you... That's like Jim Buss building the Lakers up to be what they were, just to give it to Jeannie. And for her not to pay the NBA fees. Now the Lakers won't be in the NBA anymore. Like, what type of shit is that? Like, if you're going to be a businessman, then be a businessman. If you just want the job title, get people to at least work under you so they can handle the day-to-day shit. So you can have that franchise still. Because that could have been another source of income for your family, for your kids, for you. But because you wanted to do whatever the hell it was you wanted to do, now this franchise isn't even in the AFL no more. And that's sad. That is really, really sad. And the worst thing the Albany Empire could have done was give Antonio Brown the keys to the kingdom. And mind you, I love Antonio Brown. As a player and as a Steelers fan, I'm always going to have some sort of soft spot for him. But as a businessman, on that level, he gets an F+, all right? Because we have a franchise that could still be thriving right now and could still be generating some revenue in the AFL right now. If this man just paid the restitution fees or whatever fees they had to pay to stay in the league and stay afloat, they would still be in the AFL right now. But because this man's ego was so damn big that it can't fit in the building, he decides to do whatever the hell it is he wants to do. And now this team is in the ground. And I'm sure that probably broke his father's heart. Because it's like, well, what the fuck was I playing for this franchise for? Just to give it to my son and him fuck everything up. Like, I found that to be fucked up and just, it's disgraceful. Let's just call it what it is. It's disgraceful. And I hope for the Albany Empire's sake that they do somehow end up in the NFL. I hope they somehow end up in the AFL again and they can resurrect something. Because I've seen franchises come back from the dead that you didn't think would come back. Like the Charlotte Hornets. You know what I'm saying? It was sad when they left the NBA when they did. When they moved the franchise to the Bobcats. But when they brought them back to the Hornets, it felt like home again. So I hope that they come back some way, somehow, and they hire somebody that will actually pay the restitution fees on time. Because it's not like he didn't even have the money. He could have paid that easy out of his own pocket and been good. But no, you wanted to fuck everything up because, yeah. I'm ranting like hell because I'm getting pissed off, but let me calm my ass down. Whew. We reached 31 minutes, and if you've lasted this long in the show, you definitely a real one. Let's see, what else do we have to talk about? Oh, I don't even know if I talked about this in my last show, or last couple shows or not. But Draymond Green is suspended indefinitely, and he's trying to get back in the league. Dre, sweetheart, when the NBA says you're suspended indefinitely, that's exactly what it means. And that means when they are ready to attempt to take you back or let you play again, they will. Just because you're kicking and screaming about how you can still play and all this other shit, you need to get help for you because you're doing way too much. Like, yes, we know that you're going to be Draymond, you're going to be who you are. Okay, that's fine. Be who you are. But at the same time, control your fucking self. Because you've gotten too many passes as it is. They let Draymond Green skate on too many instances. Blatantly kicking people in the balls, hitting them, choking them out. Like, you can only do that so many times before they're like, you know what? You're done. So we're going to sit your ass down indefinitely until you decide that you're done doing this shit. And we're going to move the hell on. Now, nobody is not saying don't be who you are. You can't do anything but be who the hell you are as a person. But at the same time, you got to control your fucking self. You can't just hit somebody or choke somebody out whenever the hell you want to because you feel like it. You got to exercise some type of restraint over time. Because even Dennis Rodman, as wild and crazy as he was, he knew when to chill the hell out over time. And that's saying a damn lot. Same lesson that Ron Artest had to learn. He had to learn how to control himself. But if somebody was doing the most, or they thought they was going to come at him with some type of smoke, he was going to step up. And that's just who the hell he was. But there comes a time when you have to control yourself. And you can't use the same excuse over and over and over again. So, Dre, for your sake, get your shit together. Work out whatever displacement anger issues that you have. And become a better player. And become a better person. And we know you're going to be you. Point blank, period. But get your shit together. That's all I'm saying. And coming up on 34 minutes, I'm going to end things right here. I knew this show was going to be long because it was a lot of shit to cover today. But I thank you guys so very much for your love and your continued support of Dangerous Sports Talk. And for me, Be Dangerous. It will never go unnoticed. Also, I have more listeners. I got two more listeners. I went from 74 to 76 followers on Spotify. So I thank you guys so much. Let's keep running up the listens, keep running up the followers, and let's get it. Definitely in this for the new year. And I'm going to get my ass out of here because I'm hungry and, yeah, I got to eat. Please follow me on Instagram and Twitter at TheBeDangerous. Also, follow Dangerous Sports Talk, the Facebook page. And follow Dangerous Sports Talk on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, wherever podcasts are available. And on that note, I am out of here. Peace.